and welcome back to Paint Bravely, the podcast where you can find a little bit of encouragement, discover new ways to make your hobby more fun, and most importantly, learn to paint bravely, and sometimes even disguise yourself bravely, too.
That's right.
We have some things to talk about, yeah.
That's right. All right, so we are recording this right before we go to Adepticon 2024, and so we've both been working hard to have stuff ready to go for Adepticon, and I think we actually have a lot to talk about today. So I'm starting this episode with a little joke. I've got a fake beard that I'm wearing right now, and I've got some sweet gamer glasses. I can't remember what these are called. The like tinted glasses that were big 10 years ago when you're playing games, supposed to like help you not get headaches or something, but
yeah, relaxes your, or like cuts out the blue light or something. Called, you know, like, the yellow ones, the HD ones.
These, they're gunners. Do you remember these? The gunner glasses? But
I do remember. Yeah. I remember seeing ads for them. They're like, oh, if you drive a lot, you should wear these too. And if you game a lot, you know, it'll make you a better gamer.
Yeah. They're just yellow tinted glasses. And it actually hurts your head when you game because you get the glasses on and maybe you have glasses already. I don't know. But then you got your headphones on top of it and it's all just squeezing into your head. But actually, anyway, I'm wearing them as mostly a little bit of a joke here. But I am entering Resin Beast at Adepticon, and I have decided to use a pseudonym for that entry. So this episode is coming out after Adepticon, so I can spill the beans now. But I am entering in the small model category. I have an archer who is doing a sweet power slide down a set of stairs, kind of like Legolas does. So it's an archer from Conquest. It's one of the bow chosen from the Nord faction. And in the normal model, he's got one leg up, like on a tactical rock sort of thing, which ordinarily is pretty stupid. But I was looking at it, and the angle between the 2 feet is right for someone grabbing the shield of a downed enemy and riding that shield down a set of stairs like Legolas did in that second Lord of the Rings movie. And, he's shooting his bow, counting 41, 42, 43. It's great. I decided to build a little plinth to look like a staircase. And so that, you know, is a decorative base that has a little bit of height to it where the whole thing fits into the theme of the mini, and I built that plinth out of sprues. I got my old sprue collection. I think I used sprues from a couple of rhinos from Warhammer 40K, and because it has a lot of nice straight sprue sections, and I used those to build up like Minecraft style, block style, build up my plinth, and then I covered my sprue staircase in a thin layer of Milliput and sculpted in some rocks, and it looks kind of good. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But this is a long-winded way of saying that I have entered Resin Beast, and I'm using a pseudonym. My pseudonym is Bert Mabers, and Bert Mabers, the differences between Brent and Bert Mabers is Bert Mabers has a fake beard and glasses, and I am planning on wearing this and a stupid cultist robe when I walk from our hotel room at Adepticon down to the showroom floor to enter my piece.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's not a big deal, but I just think it's a little bit cleaner if the judges don't know who painted each mini. I am in no danger of winning things, but, you know, I've graded enough lab reports in my day that I know that it's really just easier if you don't know who submitted what. You're not thinking like, I kind of like this person, but do I like them too much? Maybe we'll go a little bit harder because I do like this person. I want to be, there's no correcting for bias, no overcorrecting for bias, just nice and simple. Do I like the archer doing the power slide down the rocks? Interesting idea, but he looks dumb, so no. Nice and nice and clean.
Yeah. There's no questions. It's just based off the model alone.
It's not like, oh, Brent did this? Was he trying? Oh my God, he was trying. Look at the, oh my God. Like, no, there's none of that going through the judge's head. Just like, oh, here is a, you know, an amateur painted up an archer and he looks okay. B minus, you know, like just.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
yeah.
what we want. Like, I don't know who Bert Mabers is, but maybe they were trying their best.
He,
I don't
he
know.
Did all yeah. right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Man, that's going to be good, though. I mean, it'll have already happened, so I'm assuming it was good.
Yeah, maybe you've already pictures, read yeah. on, like, three different Reddit pages about me getting expelled, and Bert Mabers was lighting yeah. fires in the hotel room, and I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it brings up an interesting point for sure for, like, painting competitions in general, because it tends to be a lot of the same people that enter. Which, you know, it's fine. That's what they like to do. But yeah, usually it's a lot of the same judges, right? It just seems to swap out from yeah. people, you know, to other people, you know, and then they're competing and so on. So like, I do like the idea of entering anonymously.
Yeah.
And just seeing what happens.
And it's not always possible. Like some people's style is so obviously them that there's mm-hmm. no hiding it and you don't necessarily want to, but I don't know. I think it's cleaner if you can take some basic steps to reduce that. Like I am, mm-hmm. Not a huge deal one way or the other, but like, I'm not going to post on social media about my piece until after the competition. Like, I just think it's cleaner that way. If, you know, not, Doing what you can to avoid biasing the judges in any direction. And like you say, it's a small group of people who do the judging. The people who enter year after year after year is also a relatively small group of people. So there's going to be, you know, there's going to be interesting situations and bias and the feeling mm-hmm. of incestuousness. But I don't know, if you can do what you can to minimize that, I think that's good. Like, I don't know, like over on Golden Demon, like for there's one category, as is my understanding in Golden Demon, the open category where GW mm-hmm. employees can enter. And that yeah. also feels kind of weird, but I think it's a decent compromise that it's one category is like, okay, here's where the people who work for the company and are office friends with the judges can enter, and all the other categories mm-hmm. is just the general public. So that's a yeah, decent way yeah. of doing things.
I mean, yeah, because at least in that case, if they paint like a single model or something, then it's like that single model has to be better than every other open category miniature, which is usually like hand sculpted insane pieces, yeah, you know. Yeah, so like, yeah, you'd have to put in some serious effort, and you know,
obviously everyone who wins that are insanely talented.
Yeah.
but there is that little sliver of when the winner is a GW employee of like, it still feels a little bit weird. Even when you're looking right at the piece and see how amazing it is, it still feels a mm-hmm. little bit weird. But
yeah, no, for sure.
Some of that is just unavoidable in a relatively small hobby where so many people are friends and talk to each other and get advice from each other. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Now, and even the first year that we were at Adepticon, I knew one of the judges, like that was the only reason he was there, mm. you know? Yeah. So, I mean, it's even for something like that, like American Golden Demon, it's like, oh, there's people I know doing this. Yeah. Not that I was entering or going to win, but, you know.
Yep. Yep. But anyway, this is my first competition entry, and I'm quite well aware of the fact that I will not win anything, but I like the idea of getting some more minis into the case so that there's more stuff for people to yeah. look at, and maybe some more people give it a shot next year. We've talked before, I feel a little bit weird about how emotionally wrapped up the true competitors get in these painting competitions. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we've said before that like The unhappiest part of Adepticon last year was watching the people come out of the award ceremony.
Yeah.
And it was like the people who lost, like you could see on their face that they lost, and the people that won were like silent and like trying to be
couldn't say anything.
Trying to be, you know, as good winners. And I was just like, wow, all of these people put in so much effort, worked so hard, came up with such amazing pieces, and like a few of them are happy inside, but on the outside, a few of them are happy inside, but on the outside, they all look miserable walking out of this awards ceremony. It's just like,
God, I'd want to just get to the hotel room, like stash this thing. I'll put it on a shelf and you can see it there. Otherwise, I don't want to talk about it. Like, I suppose it would be kind of that, like, you'd feel really good, but you'd feel bad because, so many people did put in the, like, in a lot of cases, you know, the same or more effort, you know, like, man, I don't know. Like, I did do a Golden Demon piece this year, because that's been my goal, right? I want to get something into the case regardless, because it's honestly, it's just a fun thing to do. It's like, oh, I can walk around, go look at stuff, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's my model. And then, like, people are looking at it and talking about it, and, like, that's just the cool thing. Like, might as well experience that if you're going to a convention with something like that, you know?
This piece is really cool. I wonder who Bert Mabers is. Yeah. Did you see this really cool thing Bert Mabers did?
There's going to be that, like, it's the Legolas thing, right? Like the convenient snowboard.
I think that's what he was going for.
Oh, man. The question is, though, are you 100% done with your piece?
Close enough. Close enough that I'm not... Yeah, I'm certainly not embarrassed if I'm putting it in under somebody else's name. I'll tell you what.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. That might actually be a strat there.
I've got one more day.
Putting it in or someone else's
name. I've got one more day to do highlights on a couple more of the colors, and then that'll be good. But yeah, it's
nice.
Far enough along that I know it will actually happen. So, yep.
Yeah. So this will be the best model that Bert Mabers ever painted.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's what I want to see.
The question is, do I have to come up with a new name next year? That's the...
Like, Brett Members.
Pete Mopsicle.
Like, yes, oh my God.
You're going to take it, aren't you?
I will now, yeah. Man, still... we haven't talked about old Pete Mopsicle in a minute. Let me tell you.
Gone but not forgotten.
Yeah, haven't seen him around in a minute. I think we scared him off, maybe.
I think they might have forgotten their login information. Yeah, they'll have to crack, their own password again. Get that.
Two-part verification on a phone that doesn't exist anymore, you know. Have to call customer support at YouTube or it's not going to happen. Yeah. And now it's taken. Like, now the name's taken. No one's ever going to get that.
That's right.
I should probably see if I can steal it.
Godspeed, Pete. Yeah. They didn't check my information. So registering for Resin Beast is just a Google form where they had me put in my actual human name and you know, information. And then there was just a blank space. Would you like to use a pseudonym? Enter it here. Yes, I would. Like, I got this all planned out.
Like, just enough of a thing, right? Like, that pops up. And they're like, do you want to use a fake name? And you're like, oh, I could do so much with this. Yes, I want to use a fake name. I thought about it. Uh-huh. I didn't end up doing Resin Beast, although I filled out all the stuff to register, like, initially. Uh-huh. But yeah, I did hit that point and I'm like, oh, pseudonym. Oh, okay. Yeah. My Golden Demon piece, I did make into a video and I did post it a couple of days ago.
Okay.
So it will have been up before the competition.
Look at you, trying to bias those judges.
Yeah, yeah. That's
actually,
my goal.
I just want to make sure. Disqualify you. The Games Workshop judges are going to see that you bought the model secondhand. Like, you got that from eBay.
Right,
did
yeah.
not directly give any money to Games Workshop. Like, disqualified.
Games Workshop did not make any money off of this. Yeah, exactly.
We'll give you a red sticker that signifies, like, yeah.
Look, that's what I'm hoping for, honestly. Anything like that. Like, I would so much love to be disqualified from a painting competition and be like, oh, okay. You know, that's just free content at that point.
Okay.
Like, give me the worst reason possible, please. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I actually spent a good amount of time. I made two videos on this particular model, and like, I don't know that I've put this much time into any other model. Mm-hmm. And I also painted a whole backing board and did this like fancy base on it. I kind of see it. I mean, it's already been up and all of posted. I mean, the video's up too, but, I tried to put in some effort and take some of the feedback that I got, you know, from like last mm-hmm. year to push some of those things. And like the reason that I posted the video before the competition is, for one, I'm not going to win a Golden Demon. So I feel like that's just moot. It doesn't matter. and because it was more about kind of breaking past the barriers that I set for myself, especially because I focus on rescuing miniatures. And usually that means like clean up, fixing all these things, and then paint it. And then like, if it turns out good, that's cool. But never like beyond that.
Yeah.
So I've just kind of like sat in this pocket for a while.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, I don't want to make another video about this because then it's like, I'm not doing another thing, right? A YouTube thing. I'm not doing another model. It's not fresh. And at the same time, it's like, that seems like a pretty stupid thing to do. Considering I want to paint this model more mm-hmm. and it is for a competition, like I should just put the time and effort into it. So, I mean, I spent an extra like 15 hours on it and it looks way better than it did before. I mean, in like really weird small ways, not the overall, but you know, I'm pretty happy with it. And I am hoping to get at least the, like, you pass the bottom shelf check, you know, where they give you the single green sticker and they're like, we didn't completely disqualify you, but, you know, it's second best of that. It, so I'm hoping for that. A little sticker on my card. That's all I want.
I believe in you. I believe in you. Yeah, that's impressive, though. The ability to have a model that's pretty much done and then for hour after hour after hour get to another 15 hours on top of what was already there. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
I am finding that it's easier to do that with competition models, though. Like,
yeah,
you know, a couple of days ago my model was like, yep, this is where I normally call it good and move on to whatever's mm-hmm. next. But it does help to be like, okay, I've got a couple of days to make this better and
mm-hmm.
not have Bert Maber's first model be a total embarrassment. Yeah.
He's an imaginary man, at least something decent. Yeah.
He has his pride.
Pete Mopsicle was imaginary. And then he became real. So anything can happen. You might have gone to Adepticon and seen old Bert Maber's walking around, you know?
Mm-hmm. It was there.
He was there. Yeah. Man, I am excited about Adepticon, though.
For sure. What else are you ready for there? I don't know. What
do you mean, at Adepticon or just in general? In general? Oh, well, I mean, I've been doing a lot of hobby, like, because I've been trying to push to get stuff out so that I can kind of take that block of time off, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I finished this Golden Demon model and I've been painting 69 second edition Gretchen that I got for $20 on eBay. Mm-hmm. It's the same sale that like the dude sent me a message like a week later and was like, can you open that box and check to see if my wife's purse is inside? Cause she packed it up and lost her purse and like, it wasn't inside, but that's pretty funny.
What do you remember to send you 69 Gretchen, right?
He did, okay. And I did count them. Yeah. A couple of them were missing some horns and stuff, so I had to green stuff some horns up and rebase one of them. But yeah, painting 69 models is it's more difficult than I thought it would be. Like, even on paper, it's like, yeah, that's a lot of models. And like, but you put 69 25 millimeter models next to each other, and it's not like the biggest pile in the world.
No.
It's not huge. But then you start going through it. I painted like friggin' like three of them, like fully. That's it.
You got to get your batch going, man.
Yeah. I know.
Tonight I'm doing the left pouch. You know? Yeah, the left pouch on yeah, every exactly. one of these.
They do have pouches on their left.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. They're all monopose, right? They're all the same. I actually found out, and I didn't realize this, they were also sculpted by Kevin Adams.
Cool.
And I've been, like, almost all the models I've got right now, and the ones I've purchased more recently, are all Kevin Adams sculpts. Like, I got some beefy monstrosity orcs and a bunch of stuff. I just got, like, a set of pirate orcs from him, so... Yeah, some really cool stuff, and I don't know why. It's just it's all piling on, and it's all the same guy, but it's kind of cool to see like the history of that and like where it's gone and everything.
Well, you like what you like. That's okay.
Yeah, and apparently I have a type. I guess I didn't think I would.
Makes sense.
But I guess I do.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean like those chariot goblins. Like, those were his.
Of course they were.
I mean, come on. Yeah.
I'm excited to... I am excited to get back to the bits box there.
Yeah.
At Adepticon. Especially the goblin.
One of my main goals is to find something. Yeah. I gotta find the rest of that chariot. Actually, I'm looking for a wyvern, like one of the metal ones. That would be a pretty good find. Because I have the rider, and I need the rest of the stupid dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like the spindly little one that looks kind of funky, but...
Of course.
What are you going to do?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so metal orcs. That's what we're looking for this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of that, and trying to just... get ahead of the game, as it were, you know, trying to finish up as much of the painting and all the stuff so that when I get back, it's like, okay, I can just like edit this really quick and get it out instead of having to cram like a whole video in a day or two instead of 2 weeks, you know?
Understandable.
Yeah. Oh, I also painted some Minecraft minis.
Ooh.
There is a plethora of Minecraft minis to 3D print online.
Yeah.
Like, they're everywhere. And, like, they're not all made the same, and some are not good. They're bad.
I mean, they're...
But I have found a few.
I mean, the standard block is one polygon, right? And it's just something textures. Like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, it's painted on texture. Yeah. So you'd think, like, that wouldn't be great, because... I've seen like really well painted little blocks and stuff, and it's like, yeah, you go in and you make the little pixels on each block and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the figures that I found are like a little bit bigger than like a Lego sized.
Okay.
And they're everything is sculpted on it. So like even the little blocks within the blocks are sculpted.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, okay, I'll just paint this one this color and this one this color, and it all stands out properly. You don't have to like line anything up or tape anything off to make the squares. So, yeah, like, I was thinking it was going to be a little more difficult than it was, but, like, the ones I found were pretty decent. And, like, my son's been just stupid into Minecraft. Like, out of nowhere. Death. You know, it's like he turned 7, and it's like, Minecraft! This is a Minecraft house now!
The children yearn for the mines.
Yeah. Apparently they do. He is all about it. And, yeah, so I, of course, you know... I got to print some minis. I'm going to paint them.
Yeah.
But he's been into that, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Well, I will reconnect with your son one of these days, because from time to time I wander off and into Minecraft for like 4 days straight, and then I can go back on with like another year of my life. But yeah. I understand it.
That makes sense.
I understand it.
Yeah, no. I had not ever played Minecraft.
Okay.
up until, you know, not that long ago. And now I feel like I know more than I should. Yeah. It's not great. I don't know.
Compared to all the other games that a young man could get, you know, sucked into, Minecraft is pretty wholesome. Like, it's
I mean, that's
creativity
true.
And building and solving problems and exploring. Yes, yeah. It's I get it.
Yeah. No, and he's definitely into that. Like, he likes Legos, so like Minecraft feels like a good, you know, in for video games. On the other hand, we've been playing the original Doom, just co-op, for like the last month.
You can play co-op
almost every
co-op
day.
Doom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Cool. Co-op Doom, original Doom. You play up to like four people, I think. Yeah, I didn't think that was a thing, but like it's a thing. Because I never did that when I was younger.
All right.
Yeah, so we've been shooting some Hellspawn, and he's like really into that too. So it's either like he wants to play Doom or Minecraft. Yeah. But painting minis has been good.
Raised him right. Yep. All right, back to.
I feel like it's fine. Yeah.
So you've been painting Minecraft. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing with a lot of video games is that there are surprisingly low polygons compared to our minis. Like, there was a time a couple of years ago where I thought, like, I'm going to paint some World of Warcraft stuff. And there are,
there are
like weird, janky third-party programs to export the character models from the game. And so that it's that you can make an STL file. And I did that on a couple of characters from World of Warcraft. And then it's like, oh, everything about this equipment set is just the textures. It's all drawn on to like flat surfaces. Yeah. And which is not what we do when we paint miniatures generally. So, you know, in a way, painting a Minecraft block sounds like a lot of work, especially if, depending on how neat and tidy you're trying to get those pixels. But yeah, it's a block, and then you're just trying to paint a custom checkerboard pattern onto the block.
Basically, yeah. And not even like a complete one. Right. Like, it's a random checkerboard in a lot of cases. Mm. Yeah. I did find a warden. That's what it is, a warden. Yeah. And that model is done like an actual mini. It has a base on it and everything. It's all sculpted in there and together. And that was actually really cool. I did that in like a comic book style. So it's super bright and it's got like these bold color shifts and, you know, the highlights, it's like a big highlight and then a littler highlight in that thing.
Nice.
But that layering is, you know, it's really noticeable. So it still looks kind of, you know, ye olde pixelated games and stuff. So, yeah, I think you can do some different things with that, and it definitely changes the way that you think about painting a mini.
Yeah, I'm going to get hard into cel shading one of these days. Probably this year I'm going to get really hard into cel shading. My Instagram keeps popping up. People are doing repaints on, like, Dragon Ball Z toys and stuff like that.
Oh,
and the comic book / cel shading technique of just a couple of colors, like this is the shadow color, this is the midtone, this is the highlight. There are hard edges between them, and just the confidence of being like, no, here's just the hard highlight right here. Here's like a weird jagged shape of shadow. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you get that Sharpie out and you finish it up.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Let's see here. So I'm, you know, getting ready to go away for almost a week and wanting to try to get a video out before I leave. And the one I've been working on is I picked back up a video that I abandoned a year and a half ago. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you might have heard me grumbling about Dark Eldar and trying to play 40K.
There's like a titled episode about Warhammer sucks.
Is it?
It's like a title. It's an actual title. Yeah. Okay. There was a long, long discussion about that over multiple episodes.
That's what I thought. That's what I remember. That was a while back. And anyway, My friends and I played in an escalation league. We only got 3 games in. Well, I think they got 4 games in. I quit after 3. But
you're like, I'm not going to win anyways. I'm not coming. I'm not showing up.
I think I had something better to do that day. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
And so I've got 60. Speaking of 69, I've probably is pretty close to 69 Dark Eldar Warriors over here painted in a bone armor scheme. They're not quite done. They're mm-hmm. very close done. And yeah, filmed a whole video about this Escalation League, all the painting on these minis, the 3 games I was in, and actually wrote a script, recorded the voiceover, almost finished editing the video, and that was a year and a half ago, and I never posted it because like I was finishing up the edit, and I was just realizing how bitter the video was because I was not having fun playing Warhammer 40K.
You're just yelling at the game the whole time.
Well, it starts out like pretty calm and reasonable, normal Goobertown Hobbies video, and as it goes along, especially game two, you may remember I lost 49 out of 62 models.
Turn one or whatever.
Yeah, literally top of turn one.
Their heads were poking out just a little too much. Yes.
and that's when the video really took a turn. But yeah, I was just getting more and more frustrated with the actual game. And so the tone of the video was just getting more sour, more grumpy. And eventually the video was almost done. I was just like, I can't post this. Like it's too negative. I don't want to put that energy out there. And anyway, I was thinking that I want to get a video out before I go away for a week, just to reset the timer on how long it's been since the latest Goobertown Hobbies video. And like, okay, I can take this one and give it like an introduction. Like, look, I know this is bitter, but like, it's funny now. In hindsight, it's funny. Like, look at this and laugh with me.
Yes.
So,
I mean, looking back that far ago and that's funny. I mean, I thought it was funny then, but
yeah. Well, it's just the way the video like spirals downward.
Mm-hmm. Just getting more unhinged as it goes. Yeah. It's like, day 53. I hate this so much.
So we'll see if I'm able to actually finish that out and get it up. You'll know by the time this podcast comes out whether you're able to watch that video or not. But that's something I've been working on here. It happens sometimes. Sometimes I've got a lot of footage that's never been seen for whatever reason, or the video's not done yet. Mm-hmm. But I'll finish them all up eventually.
Eventually.
So yesterday I kept myself busy. Yesterday / 3 weeks ago when you're hearing this.
This is not put a timestamp on.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. Keep this evergreen here. No, I went to, especially because the name of the event is the Ides of March. I went to the Ides of March tournament yesterday. Not to date this episode or anything, but yeah, there's a tournament had both Age of Sigmar and 40K up in coastal Maine, and I was the paint judge at that event, and it was fun. And that was an event where there were a lot of people who had spent the time to learn the game of either 40K or Age of Sigmar, and since they knew what they were doing, it seemed like they were all having a pretty good time. I caught a couple of people here and there. It looked like maybe they weren't, but like most of them looks like they're having a good time. They had a little painting competition, and it was on me to pick the best army for Age of Sigmar, and also to pick, they had 3 categories, large model, small model, and squad, for just a straight up painting competition. And I was in charge of picking the winner and the runner up on those. And I get a little bit nervous about that sort of thing because there can be a lot of personal preference in there, you know, very, you know, subjective kind of decisions. But for better or worse, this community had a serious painter and someone who was serious but not quite as good. And that made things nice and easy.
That's nice. It takes a little bit of that stress away. Because, man, you never know. Like, people definitely get heated about it.
Yep. And it was a situation where, it would be pretty hard to argue about who the winner and the runner-up were in the small category and the squad category. The squad category maybe could have gone either way, but like everything after position two, it was pretty clear that they were after position two. There was a lot of cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things I really liked about that event is that I was able to talk to a lot of people who had entered models and tell them all the cool stuff that I liked about what they did. Like, there were tons of great ideas and like clever ways of using color. They're like, I like this, I like this, I like this. You're not going to win because look at that guy over there. But like,
yeah. And they know it and that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You say, man, I really like this model. You should paint the eyes. Like, I believe in you. You can paint the eyes. But like, you see that guy over there, definitely painted the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, painting eyes is overrated.
But no, that was a really good experience. And you know, I mentioned it was in coastal Maine, which is one of the many middle of nowhere parts of Maine. The coast of Maine is very large, and it's just a ton of small towns. Some of them have lobster shacks where you can buy your lobster rolls and stuff.
Makes sense.
During the Ides of March, it's a pretty quiet part of the world, and it was awesome to see that there is a new game store out in Rockport, Maine, which is, one of those places where you don't think that it'd be able to sustain a game store, but hopefully they're able to. Like other stores I know, they're supporting their model by having online sales like eBay sales, in-person store plus eBay store sales. So that is the Treasure Trove Keep. And I wanted to mention them just because the owner, Roger, seemed like a good guy. But also, it turned out that they started that store by buying an auction of an old storage unit that had the contents of another game store that had been that storage unit like 15 years. So they got a lot of, apparently, like from like third and fourth edition of like back in that era. And they got a good deal on that, and that kind of jump started the store and got them started. But I found out that the game store that seeded that old storage unit was the first game store I had ever been to, which was The Keep.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so like the first Warhammer models I bought were from The Keep at the mall. Or actually, might have been Casablanca Comics. Anyway, but very early on, I was at The Keep at the mall. And which...
Just go with that.
Yeah,
sounds good.
But The Keep was designed as like a kiosk in the shape of a castle. Like the four corners of the kiosk had the towers and everything. and it was the best mid-mall kiosk I've ever seen. Like the cell phone kiosks, you know, don't have anything on The Keep. Like the... You know,
right, yeah.
the knockoff Oakley sunglasses, don't got nothing on The Keep. But anyway, at one point, eventually it went out of business and all their stuff got put into a storage unit. And 15 years later, Roger bought him out, and then he started the Treasure Trove Keep. He put the keep as the last word in the name, and up in coastal Maine. And so, anyway, I'm always happy when a small store is opening instead of closing, so that's good. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's a spiritual successor to a store I cared about that closed a long time ago, so.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's pretty cool.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, finding that much stuff like in a storage locker that's from that era, like that stuff must have been worth a fortune.
Yep.
Like those boxes, you know, even a single squad of like Necromunda or something in third, fourth edition 40K era.
Sure.
It's like back then it was $35. Now you go on eBay and you buy one of those even used for like $250.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, I think he got a good deal on that, and had some good helpers helping him run an event. There were a bunch of guys up from actually had driven as far as Boston. I think our buddy Martin Orlando has traveled much, much farther up the coast to play with some of these guys in Maine before. But
he was there?
Not this time.
Oh, okay.
He's been before, and I think he's going to go again to our related group. But yeah, it's nice to see the people who live in relatively unpopulated areas able to actually find a game group. And even if they do need to drive an hour or whatever the case is, like, it was cool to see middle of nowhere have a tournament that had, they were prepared for 50 on each side of AOS and 40K. I think it was more like 30 or 35 on each side, but still, that's a lot.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah, that's real good.
Yeah.
And so I'll mention it here and then maybe mention it again beforehand on the podcast next year. We'll hopefully grow a little bit year after year. I'm willing to drive up the coast to do a paint judge again. Like, that was surprisingly low pressure. They did a good job of already deciding beforehand who was going to be first and second. But
right.
Actually, in the large...
Well, until a new contender shows
the,
up.
The large model category, actually, the best painter did not enter the large model category.
Oh, okay.
And the kind of... also very good, but the second best painter entered, but actually got disqualified because their model wasn't quite big enough. They entered a dreadnought.
Really?
They entered a dreadnought, and like I had judged, it was like, okay, the dreadnought wins this category. But then the person running the event came over and said, "I just looking at the fine print here, dreadnought does not qualify as a large model." Like, ooh, that shakes things up.
That changes things up. Sucks for that guy.
So actually,
that's too bad.
There was some tough competition for first and runner up once you cleared out the way too talented members of the community. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then it was a competition between a lot of models that each definitely had some flaws, but also like, that's cool in that way. That's cool in that way. It's hard to choose, and I think someone definitely could have second guessed my decisions on both of those. But luckily, no one cared that much.
When it comes down to it, No, the only time I've ever been asked about it, I mean, okay, to be fair, the only time I've ever actually done like a tournament, you know, judging a painting competition, it was like. Like, no, I do this for a living. Like, why didn't I win? And I was like, oh, okay.
I like green.
That's not how this works.
Well, you should have painted like, green because I really like green. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, but still think about it.
Yep. So, there you go. It was a good experience. I enjoyed it.
Good.
Glad a decent number of people did enter that little painting competition, and I got to give a lot of them some well-deserved compliments. And yep. Anyway, that's what I did during the Ides of March event, which actually happened on the 16th and 17th of March, 2024. In case you were wondering.
That's fine.
It's close.
You gotta do
as close
you
as
do.
It could have been. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that's like a Saturday, Sunday or something. Yeah, so it's what it is. Like, you can't always be right on. Yeah.
Although I like to think one of the organizers was like stressing over it. They're like, the Ides is on a Friday. I mean, we could run it on a Friday. Like, a bunch of people are going to complain.
Yeah.
Like, can't get off of work. Can't drive up from Boston on a Friday.
Yeah. I bet you that conversation happened because they're like, but it makes more sense this way. Like, that's why we named it this, you know? It's like, no, it's fine. Everybody gets what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's always those people, you know, stressing over those kinds of details.
You can't stress over these things, but
no.
I mean, next year, maybe next year I'm judging. And Bert Mabers enters a piece at the old Ides of March Golden Brush painting competition. Like,
But if you're judging,
Bert Mabry seems like a pretty good patron. I don't know.
at least give yourself the runner-up spot. Be like, yeah, this is just, it's too good.
I don't know who did this. A man with a beard dropped this off in the case right. This morning. I don't know. Oh, no, that would be wrong, and I would be embarrassed if I actually did that.
I mean, I could bring a camera.
Yeah. I would be very embarrassed if I was caught doing that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
yeah, caught doing it. Regrettable.
And the winner is sure. Bert Mabers. Hold on just a second. Hold on. Like, yeah.
Just a second. I got to use the bathroom real quick. Just throw on. Thank you. I can't believe
it.
Well,
I got an incredible honor. Yes.
Yeah. Damn.
All right.
Oh, man.
What else we got going on, Casey?
I was going to mention that with those Gretchen that I'm painting, I am going to be using good old, like, dollar, or no, I'm sorry, not dollar, but pound 25 Citadel paints from the early 90s. Ooh. The Goblin Green and the Putrid Green, you know? Yeah, I got some bottles from somebody. They shipped me a bunch of them, and they're still...
I can hear it. That's coming through great.
Still liquidy and delicious. And holy crap, the coverage on Goblin Green is really good. Like, what, a single coat, no problem. I don't know. I'm very surprised.
Just don't make them like they used to, huh?
I guess not. But, yeah, I'm super excited to be using that because it does actually look really good. It's like a really... like desaturated green, but with really good coverage. So it just goes on, and then you kind of do some other stuff to it. And it's like, oh yeah, no, that works really well. And of course, the classic Goblin Green bases, right? Like it just looks proper. Just looks so good. So
that's hard coded.
I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah, 69 of those sitting on a table. That sounds pretty good. I also just like on a whim. I sat down because I was painting those Minecraft minis, and I just got out a bunch of, like, half-painted models that have been sitting on a shelf for the last 8 years, I think. Yeah. And I painted, like, a bunch of leather straps on some Chaos Dudes and painted myself up one of those Swamp Orcs, you know? I actually really like the Swamp Orcs. They work really well.
The Cruel Boys? We all need to get back into that.
I have every Cruel Boys model that's been made in multiples.
You would, yeah.
I would, because they are so cheap on eBay.
You know, that's something about this the times that we're living in. We are coming to the end of this edition of Age of Sigmar.
Oh my God.
We're coming to the end of the Dominion box.
And, that's true. I do feel a little bit bad about that.
Memories.
I mean, it's settled. It's settled. The price, it's not wavering.
Okay.
You know, it's $110 a box. That's where we're at.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll see how many years into 4th edition Age of Sigmar that we can keep the Dominion box less than its original MSRP.
I mean... I still don't think it will ever actually go up. Because even then, I mean...
The overall prices keep on going up and up and up. And eventually, if you do the calculation of how many squads you get in there, like it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Like, they still don't sell some of them individually. Like, you have to buy them in a pack that's more than what you could get them for individually online.
Of course.
It's really bad.
Of course.
But yeah, 4th edition going to be announced, or it will have been once this episode's out, but for us in a couple days.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it is.
Okay, cool. It is.
And it looks like, at least from the promos they've been throwing out, it looks like Skaven might be coming back.
I've heard
so,
the
I mean,
rumblings.
I am a little bit happy about that.
Yeah.
Underground sewer rumblings. But, I mean, if they do a Dominion-style box that is on the same like quality level, and like even if it's push fit, you know, and they just overly produce all of them, and you know, they're giving them away at Adepticon next
year. They may
year.
Have learned their I lesson mean, on that.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah. The future is uncertain. We'll see about that one.
I know. Yeah. Well, and we'll keep a tracker going for the next couple of years as that gets going, because
yeah,
that's what we do. That's what we do. Yeah. Are you planning on playing any games this year at Adepticon?
I'm gonna bring some Relic Blade minis. I don't know if I'm actually gonna find the time to play, but I'll be ready in case anyone challenges me to a battle. Like a Pokemon trainer with my battle pigs in tow, maybe some Gibblins, you know.
Come up to you.
Yeah. Want
Bird Mabers at you.
Want a battle?
Yeah. Yeah. Want a battle.
You will never survive against my axe pig.
Yeah. Yes. Somebody please say that. Please. I just want that to happen.
I was gonna, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna put this episode out early, so yeah. Maybe someone will without the instructions, though. It's possible. It's possible.
I mean, yeah, that is possible. Yeah. Just bust out a battle pig out the back pocket and throw it down. Yeah.
So something else that's on the radar here is this is from Archon Studio. This is a pre-painted sprue. And I had a chat with Yarik, the CEO, and he told me how they do this. That's it is an inkjet printer, like a flatbed inkjet printer that uses UV curing ink. And yeah, it's little dots of cyan, yellow, magenta, and black on these models. And yeah, it's a decent pre-paint. I don't know. Folks have been talking about it. There's a campaign that might be closed by the time this airs. I don't know. But it's interesting to see what computers and technology can do these days with printing minis. But there's a few technical limitations, like the angle of the plastic with the inkjet. It can't do bits that are perpendicular to the plane of the sprue, but it can do things that are at a pretty good deal of slant, and it's got about like a little more than a 1-inch height that it can do. So I am curious to see where this technology goes, and I probably will make a whole video on that. So we don't need to get deep into it, but that's just one of the other things that's a news item right now is Dungeons and Lasers 6, the Caves Kickstarter, or whatever it is, Game Found campaign. Yeah.
And pre-painted.
Pre-painted.
Just because it's relevant. I actually saw an ad, and it disappeared because Facebook is stupid sometimes, but it was a pre-painted model. Okay. But not paint. It was like that. It was, you know, printed.
Printed, yeah.
Printed, painted, you know. And their whole advertisement was, this model is not actually painted, but it's full color. Mm-hmm. And it looked just like that. It's like that, the little dots and, you know, makes everything up. And it kind of got me thinking, like, even if they could do that on, like, a very low level, just, like, simple color in an area, hey, look at that. It's, like, base coated. Like, having that as a paint by numbers guide to separate the pieces, probably would alleviate some serious work in like if you're just trying to get stuff out for gaming.
Oh, if you could get a base coat of like a properly colored base coat, and you just like get your layers on and slightly,
pretty much.
That'd be interesting.
I mean, I can see that this stuff could go pretty far. And I mean, even with that terrain, you know, you throw colors over the top of the colors that are there, similar colors. If you miss something, it doesn't really matter. And then you throw a dry brush on there and it's like, this looks really good now.
Yeah, I like that idea.
You know, it's not pre-painted, but it's paint by numbers. Those like giant canvas paintings where each piece is broken up with the little number and you get the little bottle and you take it and you're like number 72.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I see it going far.
Well, this is just another way to give a leg up to, you know, especially the RPG players who just might be a little bit model curious, and just anything you can just do to push them a little bit farther down that path. Good, good, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the barrier to entry is certainly getting better all the time.
Yes.
And that kind of stuff is awesome. I got my fancy pants Stormbringer box.
Ooh.
I finally got it. The what is it, like month 5 or something, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But I mean it.
You got your
premium
dragon
set 1. Yes, it's a full Krondis.
Old Krondis,
which is like $150 on its own.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, so far I feel like I'm ahead of the game money wise. It's still not cheap per month, and I'm gonna see this through because I said I would. But yes, they sent a Krondis in a box.
I appreciate you checking in on this issue. Yeah, the people want to know.
Really, I just don't want to call them to cancel, and I know that was their game.
Mm-hmm.
I know
what they're doing.
So
yeah,
yes, it's much better to lean into it than.
Hello, is this a Stormbringer head office? Yeah.
Dickheads.
I wonder if you call if they give you like a special offer, like that. That's
yeah, probably
like, even
that's
more confusing than the online written out thing. Like,
yeah.
Well, if you order now,
you
throw
up.
In yeah some Gretchen, you get some, or some lads.
I mean, they could get me with that, too.
It would.
I mean, I do that with my, like, Audible.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, oh, man, I ran out of credits. Let me just fake cancel for a minute. And they're like, no. Free book on us. You just do that, like, every 2 or 3 months. You get a free book. Am I blowing your mind? You didn't know that?
You just save me $15 every couple of months.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Heck yeah.
It's great.
My man.
Yeah, you just start the cancel process. And they'll you know, ask you a bunch of questions, try and get you to stay, and then they will give you offers. Like, usually they'll give you a couple. So you gotta wade through the garbage, right? They're going to be like, how about 10% off? They're like, no.
No deal.
I don't want that. Yeah. No deal. Yeah. Yeah. And then the next one will be like, can we give you free credits? And will you stay? And then you say yes. And you get your free credit, you download your book, and then you cancel it anyways.
These are the hobby tips you need. Because you need something to listen to while you paint, because we're almost done with this episode of Paint Brave the podcast, and then you're going to need like an audiobook or something.
I mean, that's true. Yeah. Maybe we should be recommending audiobooks. That actually, what to listen to when Paint Bravely is caught up on and 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Are you always got to have a book going. Always gotta have a book going.
That's true. I'm on a dumb kick though right now. Like that Percy Jackson show came out on Disney. You know what I'm saying?
Trying to remember which one's Percy Jackson. Is it Golden Compass? Who's Percy Jackson?
Percy Jackson's the Greek one. He's the demigod kid.
No.
No, nothing.
No.
All right. Well,
keep trying.
All right. No, there's a, you know, it's Harry Potter esque. Like
wardrobe.
Came out around the same time.
No. Narnia.
Close, a little bit. Yeah. It's like hidden Narnia. You know, it's there. But yeah, like the show came out, and I was like, oh man, like I never read these books when I was younger, and they might be good for later for my kids. So like. I got the first one, and it's not very long, and so I blew through all of them in like a week, and now I'm still going on this like series that they have.
Huh.
So I don't know. They're not like written for adults at all.
No, I bet those are pretty short audiobooks. Actually, like you're gonna
they are. They're like 10 hours long.
You're
gonna
be dropping a lot of $15 audiobooks on that one. Yeah.
I had some crits,
Zach,
you know?
Zach,
I mean,
Efron somehow involved. Like I'm trying
no,
to put this together.
No, not at all.
All right.
It was JTT, you know.
That's, right, that's right. It's all coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Free Willy facts. Yeah. I don't think JTT was in Free Willy.
No.
Or
no,
Free Willy
he wasn't.
Too. But no. They got like a knockoff version. Like they got a
discount JTT. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those these days. The actors are just discount so-and-so's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Kirsten Dunst's husband is discount Matt Damon. Seen that guy? Looks just like Matt Damon.
From Breaking Bad?
But he's not. Is he in Breaking
Bad? Is that who we're talking about?
I mean, if he looks like Matt Damon and he's not Matt Damon, then yeah, it's the same guy.
All right. Well, you learn something new every day. You know, you tune into us, you learn something new. And I got one more hot fact for you if you need something to listen to. Life After the Cover Save, it's back, baby. Mm-hmm. If you want to listen to some old grognards talk about the problems that they have in life other than us, you can listen to your friends Ed and Blake and Travis. And man, they'd been gone for like a couple of years, and then my podcast app like updated, and like the weird little exclamation point went away, and a good exclamation point popped in its place, and boom, new episodes, LATCS, Life After the Cover Save.
There you go.
The comedy gaming podcast.
Yeah.
Now I'll have to bug those guys about getting the 20-sided realms back in action. You know, no pressure, but
I mean, no pressure.
It's the same crew. No. It's like the funny people from the 20-sided realms. So it's 20-sided realms minus me, and they've got a podcast called Life After the Cover Save, where they talk about I don't know what they talk about these days, but
well, at least in the new episode, it was playing Warhammer games.
Oh well. I listened to half of one of the new episodes, and it was just about their problems, which was fun to listen to, but I don't need to be talking about anything specific for me to care, but to get new listeners, maybe they do need to be talking about Warhammer games. I don't know.
I mean, that's possible. Mm-hmm. They might be on a on search for that. Yeah, they're doing that. All right, well, anyways, thank you again for joining us on another episode of Paint Bravely. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, subscribing to the YouTube channel, and sharing this message with your hobby friends. And as always, we appreciate each and every one of you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.